At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is the VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Here is Adam Burke.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Tuesday, May 9th edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. I'm your host, Adam Burke. Happy to be with you here on a full card for Tuesday. Got a lot of stuff to break down. Wrote a lot of words in the article over at VSiN.com, and I'll break down a lot of those talking points on today's show as well. Make sure you check out that article Monday through Saturday over at VSiN.com. You can check out VSiN Daily Baseball Bets wherever you get your podcast content Monday through Friday here as we go throughout the Major League Baseball season. Lots of stuff going on with the NBA and NHL playoffs, both at the website and also on our respective podcasts, Hardwood Handicappers for the NBA, Hockey Betting Podcast for the NHL. Hoping to be ramping up the WNBA coverage with Danielle Alvari coming up here as the season begins 10 days from today. So we'll be working on some WNBA coverage to go along with golf, NASCAR, tennis, NFL, college football, all the usuals at VSiN.com and also on our podcast channels here, including some articles from Zach Cohen and I on Thursday night into Friday morning with the NFL schedule release. We'll have analysis from Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN tonight. We'll put some of those video clips in those schedule release articles over at the website. And we're not that far away from our college football and our NFL betting guides either. So good time to head over to VSiN.com. Check out the subscription offer options that we have. $9.99 introductory offer for the first month. You can check that out over at VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, so I want to talk a little bit today about strength of schedule in Major League Baseball, what we've seen so far, what we may see going forward, and then spend the majority of today's show looking at that very big 15-game card around the big leagues. But let's start with the strength of schedule discussion. And something I want to talk about just in general here is, you know, I've been talking about looking at game logs for the starting pitchers and the importance of doing that. And hopefully from reading the article or listening to the podcasts here, you have a good idea of what we're working with these teams, not only overall, but also in their splits versus righties versus lefties, how they perform at home versus on the road, stuff like that. You've got to keep those things in mind when you're looking at these starting pitchers and looking at their game logs. Some guys have faced much easier slates of opponents than others, and so of course their numbers are going to look better. And if their numbers don't look better, well, that should be a pretty glaring red flag to you. So not only is this discussion designed to talk about teams, and maybe if you want to enter the futures markets, and maybe I'll do some futures updates over the next few days here on the show, but just keep that in mind when you're handicapping these pitchers as well, that some guys have faced better opposing offenses than others. Some guys have been in, you know, better offensive environments, which is going to hurt their pitching numbers, stuff like that. So you want to keep those things in mind on an individual pitcher level, but you also want to keep them in mind on a team level, because you've got to think about the betting markets here and think about how, you know, reactive they are. A lot of knee-jerk reactions to records, winning streaks, losing streaks, all these different types of things. The reality of it is that sometimes the caliber of opponent is not really factored into the equation as much as it probably should be. So I wanted to run through the teams here that are kind of the top in terms of strength of schedule and the teams that are at the bottom, maybe some teams that we can look to play on or play against as they kind of step up or step down in class. And I think it's really interesting to look at the fact that the Chicago White Sox have the highest strength of schedule according to Baseball Reference. That's what I'll be using here for current strength of schedule, and then also take a look at rest of season strength of schedule as determined by Fangraphs. But for right now, the strength of schedule over at Baseball Reference is defined as the number of runs per game their opponents are better or worse than the average team. So again, you don't really have to dig into the formula. You just have to understand how to interpret this type of data. And the White Sox here, the top team in terms of strength of schedule, their strength of schedule rating 0.7. And this goes on a scale right now of 0.7 to minus 0.6. So the White Sox, according to this metric over at Baseball Reference, have faced the most difficult schedule here so far. And they are 12-24. So certainly they're kind of proving how tough of a slate of opponents they have played. They are 2-11 against the American League East. And I wrote about this in the article over at vsin.com. The American League East, outside of beating up on each other, so playing the AL Central, the AL West, or interleague play, is 86-40 overall. AL East teams against non-AL East opponents, 86-40 overall, with the White Sox being 2-11 against those teams here so far. The White Sox are 6-16 against teams 500 or better, 6-8 against teams with losing records. So they've wound up with 22 games against teams 500 or better so far, and only 14 games against teams with losing records. And that brings me to the Boston Red Sox, who are second in strength of schedule according to Baseball Reference. And yet here this team is at 21-15. They have played 27 games against teams 500 or better on the season. They're 14-13. They are 7-2 against teams with a losing record. And their strength of schedule will go up again this week because they play the Atlanta Braves in this interleague series here for a couple of days. So the Red Sox have played a very, very challenging schedule to this point in the season. The Houston Astros are third. They are 17-18, so they're off to a pretty mediocre start for them. Have had some injuries and, of course, now have a lot of pitcher injuries. But they're 11-8 against teams 500 or better and just 6-10 against teams with losing records. So the Astros are a team that basically needs to be engaged in order to perform well, and they haven't been engaged throughout most of the season here so far, especially against bad teams. This is the one that stands out the most. If you pay attention to any of these teams here with the top five strength of schedules that I'm talking about, this is the one you want to pay attention to. That is the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers enter today's game against the Guardians at 16-18, fourth toughest strength of schedule, according to Baseball Reference. They are 4-15 against teams 500 or better. They are 12-3 against teams with a losing record. And the Guardians are a team with a losing record. The Tigers did beat them yesterday, but the Tigers have already played 16 games against the American League East Division, and they are 2-14 in those games. So this is a team that is 14-4 against teams not in the American League East. That's really, really spectacular for the Detroit Tigers. So I think, kind of generally speaking here, the Tigers are probably undervalued in the betting market. And to be completely honest with you, I probably should have taken them today with Michael Lorenzen going up against Shane Bieber. Bieber's a massive regression candidate in a lot of different ways. But this Tigers team, 2-14 against the AL East, 14-4 against everybody else, including a 12-3 record against teams with losing records. So keep an eye on the Detroit Tigers. When they're playing bad teams, so far this season, they've been really, really good. The other team here to look at, the New York Yankees, they're top five in strength of schedule. They're 10-13 against 500 or better, 9-4 against teams with losing records. And of course, they get Aaron Judge back for today's game against the Oakland A's. So let's look at the bottom of the list here in terms of strength of schedule. The New York Metropolitans have played the worst schedule in Major League Baseball, according to Baseball Reference, and yet they are only 17-18. 5-7 against teams 500 or better, 12-11 against teams with a losing record. So the Mets, not exactly the start that they were looking for against a softer part of the schedule. And of course, now questions about Max Scherzer maybe not being available to make today's start. So things for the Mets, I don't want to call them dire necessarily, but they certainly don't look good at this point in time. Second week of strength of schedule, the Atlanta Braves, who are 24-11. They are only 5-5 against teams 500 or better. However, they are 19-6 against teams with a losing record. That is actually the best mark in baseball. So 19-6 against teams with losing records, 5-5 against teams 500 or better. Keep in mind, they're also 9-3 against left-handed starters. But the Braves have played a very weak schedule at the start of the season here. And if you remember Atlanta last year, they got off to a difficult start. They had played kind of the meatier part of the schedule early on. Then they had a stretch of about 3 weeks where they played a bunch of nobodies. And that's when they had that 14 or 15 game winning streak, whatever it was. So the Braves are doing what you're supposed to do with a bad strength of schedule. Now we'll have to wait and see what they do as they face some better teams here. And by the way, something else weird for the Braves, they are 15-3 on the road and just 9-8 at home. Next up, bottom three in strength of schedule, the Cleveland Guardians. They are 16-19. They have played an incredibly pathetic schedule to this point in time. They are 5-7 against teams 500 or better and 11-12 against teams with a losing record. And that can't happen. That's just something that you cannot have. And the Guardians have really squandered this weak part of the schedule early on, which is why even though they're only three games behind the Minnesota Twins, the Twins are up there at a pretty big, I think the last I saw was like minus 185 or something, favorite to win the AL Central. The Guardians have really squandered their weak schedule early on in the season, and now they've made things really difficult for themselves. With that being said, Minnesota has the fourth lowest strength of schedule, according to Baseball Reference. They are 5-5 against teams 500 or better, 14-11 against teams with a losing record. And the Twins, 5-5 against the American League East. They're 10-6 against the Central here so far. The Guardians have only played 7 games against Central Division teams, whereas the Twins have played 16. So maybe a little bit of a boost to the Guardians kind of going forward here, where you know they haven't really played the Royals. I think they had one series against the White Sox. They're having a series against the Tigers right now, which you know, hopefully they don't squander like they have most of the early part of the schedule. But the Guardians and the Twins both look pedestrian, we'll say, and they're third and fourth in terms of weakest strength of schedules here so far this season. The other one is the Texas Rangers, and the Texas Rangers are 21-13. They are 7-5 against teams 500 or better, 14-8 against teams with a losing record. The Texas Rangers are a pretty massive regression candidate at this point in time. They're 21-13 overall, 24-10 by Pythagorean win-loss, so they should actually be better. But they're scoring 6.6 runs per game. They're far and away the biggest outlier in terms of performance with men in scoring position. Their batting average on balls in play is going to regress in a very significant way. Texas is outperforming right now relative to its true talent level. And I know Corey Seager is on a rehab assignment and all of that, but this Texas team is not as good as it's played here so far. Happy they got there for us yesterday, but this is a team that I think I will be looking to fade more often than play over the next few weeks here. So again, the bottom five in strength of schedule so far, the Mets, the Braves, the Guardians, the Twins, and the Rangers. The top five in strength of schedule, which is hardest schedules, White Sox, Red Sox, Astros, Tigers, and Yankees. And again, that thing about the Tigers really blew my mind here this morning, at least Pacific time this morning, when looking at them and kind of looking at their full body of work. So that's a team that's already gotten 16 of its games against the American League East out of the way, and they're sitting here at 16-18. That's a pretty big win for them. Do I think they're good enough to win the American League Central? Probably not, although 82-80 might win that dumpster fire of a division. So I'm not saying I'm going to bet on the Tigers as a long shot price to win the Central Division, but the Guardians and the Twins are not really taking full advantage of weak schedules, and Detroit will have some lesser competition coming up, while Minnesota and Cleveland do have some better teams to face. Real quickly here, in terms of remaining strength of schedule here, in terms of what FanGraphs has, they have Baltimore down for the toughest remaining strength of schedule, win percentage of 514. Actually, that's current strength of schedule. So rest of season, in terms of what teams are looking at going forward, the Atlanta Braves actually have the strongest remaining strength of schedule. 587 is what we're looking at here for them. These numbers are actually kind of confusing over at FanGraphs, which is rare because FanGraphs usually displays their data really, really well. I guess that's kind of projecting their rest of season win percentage, where it's got them at 98 and 63. So go ahead and correct that here in terms of strength of schedule for FanGraphs the rest of the way. The Orioles' toughest strength of schedule at 514. The A's next up at 510. Rockies and Rays both at 509. Red Sox at 508. And this makes sense. I mean, you've got three teams there from the American League East in terms of the top five strength of schedules. And that's understandable because they're going to be playing each other a lot as we go throughout the rest of the season here. In terms of weakest remaining strength of schedules, the Cardinals at 492, White Sox 493, Padres, Brewers, Braves 494. So the Braves, again, they're the only team over 500 right now in that National League East division. Will that continue? I don't know, but they've played a very weak strength of schedule to this point, and it looks like they could have a weak strength of schedule the rest of the way because the rest of their division just doesn't look all that good at this point in time. So my apologies for the confusion there. Like I said, FanGraphs usually presents things very, very clearly. Not necessarily the case here in terms of looking ahead to their playoff odds, but strength of schedule is important, not just on a team level, but also on an individual pitcher level, as I will talk about for today's card, because it factors into one of the plays that I've got coming up here on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Rate, review, subscribe. Five-star reviews, always encouraged. If you can do that, we greatly appreciate it. Hopefully, you've enjoyed the show. If you haven't, first of all, I'm sorry. Second, let us know what we can do differently. Follow me on Twitter, at Skating Tripods. You can email me, aburke@vsin.com. And also, as I announced on yesterday's show, next Monday, whatever the hell day that is, May 15th, I'll be doing a Monday mailbag. Monday mailbag. Boy, I'm really clever and creative, aren't I? Send me your questions, aburke@vsin.com. I will answer whatever it is you want to know about Major League Baseball, music, movies, bourbon, beer, hockey, whatever you want. Whatever you want to send over, within reason, of course. I will answer it here on the show. Preferably as many baseball questions as possible. But, you know, whatever you guys are curious about me, curious to learn about, whatever the case may be, you can email me, aburke@vsin.com. I'll get to as many of them as I can, at least, again, questions within reason. But again, aburke@vsin.com for the upcoming Monday mailbag on May 15th here. All right, so let's look at this Tuesday card. A lot of stuff to kind of navigate and sort through. starting with the Mets and the Reds. Right now, it's Max Scherzer against Luke Weaver. Later, it could be David Peterson against Luke Weaver. So a couple of things to mention. First of all, remember, I had that whole conversation here on the show about when it's available as an option, make sure you select listed pitchers must start, or if it has both of them listed, both must start, whatever the case may be. Because if you make a bet in this game and Max Scherzer doesn't make the start and you've just selected action, well, you're not getting the line that you bet it at. So always select listed pitchers must start, because now we've got this situation with Scherzer and Luke Weaver here. And look, I mean, Scherzer has a lot going on here. He already admitted to the media that he still has pain and discomfort in his right shoulder. The spin rates are down. The velocity is down. Some may point to him getting busted for a foreign substance as to why the spin rate is down. I don't think that was the case. I think Phil Cuzzi was on a power trip. We saw that yesterday with the balk that he called, or 2 days ago, whatever that was. The guy, he's just a walking ump show. He just makes it about himself, must have a giant ego. Maybe Scherzer was cheating, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But he insisted it was rosin and possibly sunscreen or something else to that effect, which pitchers have been using forever, and Major League Baseball still puts a rosin bag out there for them to use. So if that was the case for Scherzer, so be it. I think it was Phil Cuzzi on a power trip. But for Scherzer, I think he kind of dropped the appeal and took his medicine because he's not healthy. And that's a big concern for the Mets here as we go forward. With that said, it was very hard to try and take the Reds and fade Scherzer today because Luke Weaver is not any good. 59.6% hard hit percentage, 17% barrel rate. He's given up 14 runs on 21 hits and 16 innings. He's just not good. So maybe this game goes over the total. I don't know, but Max Scherzer is definitely not healthy as he goes into this start today. One of the more interesting line moves of the day, game 955-956 between the Dodgers and the Brewers. Noah Syndergaard and Eric Lauer in this one. And I've talked about this on the show, and I've talked about it in the article, where we've seen a lot of line movements in the betting market based on how teams are performing against lefties or against righties, depending on the matchup for that day. And it's, I don't want to say it's been blind across the board, but it's happening pretty frequently, where if a team is really bad against the lefty, the line moves against them. If a team is really good against the lefty, the line moves on them. And of course, vice versa. Well, the Dodgers are terrible against lefties. They are not good at all. They're 25th in weighted on base average at .297. They're 24th in slugging percentage. They're 26th in strikeout percentage. And they're running an 11% walk rate in that split. So they should not be nearly as bad as they are. They take on Eric Lauer today, who is left-handed. And we've generally seen, as I mentioned, teams that are bad against lefties get bet against. That's not the case here today for the Dodgers. And look, I get it with Lauer. 440 ERA, 584 expected ERA, 537 FIP. The guy hasn't pitched well. His velocity is down quite a bit. He's walking guys. He's given up a lot of hard hit contact, stuff like that. But Noah Syndergaard is not pitching well either. Syndergaard has been bad. He just got skipped his last time through the rotation to work on some mechanical things. He's seeing a hypnotist to try and get back to where he was, which is, look, I don't want to besmirch what anybody tries to do to help themselves. And I'm a big proponent of mental health and, you know, getting the assistance that you need. But I would say that, you know, going to a hypnotist is, I don't want to call it a last resort, but it seems like Noah Syndergaard just doesn't really know how to figure this thing out, how to get his velocity back, how to return to the pitcher that he once was before all these injuries. So I was a little bit surprised to see this line pretty clearly moving against the Dodgers here. This total is up to 9.5 painted across the market. That doesn't surprise me, but I thought that was a really fascinating game and a lot of interesting side stories and storylines to that one, to be sure. The Cardinals and the Cubs, as we stick with that NL Central Division theme, Jack Flaherty, Jameson Taillon in this one. So the thing about Taillon that you need to know is that he only threw 42 pitches in his first start back against the Nationals. He didn't make any rehab starts prior to that. So I would guess he's probably around 60 pitches or so here today. Now, the Cubs did keep up Javier Assad with Taillon back, and it's almost kind of a piggyback situation where Assad threw 50 pitches in relief of Taillon last time out and threw 5 shutout innings. So some great relief work out of him. But keep that in mind with Tyon, whether you're betting this game or you're betting any kind of props, anything like that. I would expect Tyon to probably be around 55 or 60 pitches, something like that here, as they're trying to build him back up. But, you know, the interesting thing about this game to me, and, you know, shame on me for not taking the Cardinals yesterday and instead trying to take an over on a bad weather day. But, you know, Jack Flaherty, it seems like they're making Wilson Contreras the scapegoat for as bad as this rotation has been. And look, I don't think Wilson Contreras is why Jack Flaherty has a 6.29 ERA, a 5.41 FIP, a 14% walk rate. Look, his ERA after his last start went from 3.94 to 6.29, gave up 10 runs on 9 hits and 2 1/3. That's not Wilson Contreras. That's just you not pitching well. So we'll see how Flaherty pitches here today. He's given up a homer in 5 straight starts. He's allowed a 50.9% hard hit percentage in his last 4 outings. The guy's just not pitching well. So tough handicap there in that one, but I just want to mention that game quickly. One other thing I want to mention in the National League briefly, Patrick Corbin and Logan Webb, Nationals and Giants here. So I'm not telling you to believe in Patrick Corbin, but I am telling you that Patrick Corbin in his last 4 starts has a 3.70 ERA with a 3.84 FIP and an 18-3 strikeout to walk ratio. So he's not the punching bag that he's been for the last several years. The Nationals are doing some really good things on the pitching side. Corbin looks better. Josiah Gray looks better. Mackenzie Gore certainly performing at a higher level as well. I'm not buying Patrick Corbin's stock, and I don't encourage you to do so either. But he's not a blind fade anymore like the market has made him out to be for the last several seasons. So there is that, I guess, to keep in mind. As the board's lighting up here a little bit with some interest on what appears to be the Detroit Tigers, Michael Lorenzen and Shane Bieber in this one. Look, I'm probably going to lose money on Shane Bieber throughout the course of the year. I've already done it once. I did it last game or last start against the Yankees when I took over 7.5 and the Yankees won 4-3. But Shane Bieber here, 2.96 ERA, a 4.86 expected ERA, 4.03 FIP in 45 2/3 innings. His strikeout percentage of 16.6% is down 8.4% from last year and 12% below his career average. And despite that, his hard hit percentage is up 3% from where it was last year, or his left on base percentage, excuse me, up 3% from where it was last year. His hard hit percentage is 48.6%. Remember, league average is about 39%. So Shane Bieber is giving up a ton of hard contact with a 2.46 batting average on balls in play. This huge ERA and xERA discrepancy, huge ERA and FIP discrepancy. He can't strike anybody out. There's no velocity for him anymore. I'm going to wind up losing a lot of money fading this dude. And I didn't do it today, and maybe I should have. But Shane Bieber is a shell of what he used to be. And the results don't show it yet, but I think they're going to as the rest of this season goes along. And again, remember, keep in mind, the Guardians have faced the third weakest schedule in Major League Baseball so far. When Bieber faces better offenses, I will be fading him. So just letting you know that ahead of time, that that will be a thing for me as this season goes along. White Sox and Royals here, Lucas Giolito and Jordan Lyles. Jordan Lyles has been beyond bad this season. 6.69 ERA, 6.52 FIP, giving up at least 4 runs in each of his last 6 starts, giving up 11 home runs. He's faced some pretty good teams, and as I mentioned, the Royals have faced a pretty challenging schedule here so far, but Jordan Lyles is just bad. Lucas Giolito has been really good this year, so we'll see if he can slow the Royals down. But I just want to mention that about Lyles, that at this point, he's completely unbettable. He's either a fade or you take the over, where the Royals are making a lot of hard contact so far this season. Astros and Angels, Framber Valdez, Shohei Ohtani in this one. So I thought this was a pretty interesting line move here because Ohtani struggled a little bit in his last 2 starts. He's given up 9 runs. He's given up 5 barrels. He's given up, I believe, 5 home runs. He's struggled a little bit here. Or 4 home runs over his last 11 innings. He's having a tough time. And Framber Valdez has been really good so far this season. There are some signs of regression in the profile. His 2.60 ERA, 4.21 expected ERA, 3.30 FIP. He's given up a lot of hard contact, but it's pretty much all on the ground. Hasn't given up more than 3 earned runs in any start. This was an interesting line move, though, because this has a lot to do with the Angels being really good against lefties. And maybe you expect a bounce back from Shohei in this start, but it's still tough, despite how the Angels are playing or how the Astros are playing here. It's still tough to look at them getting as high as plus 130 in the marketplace and not be at least somewhat interested. So that's what I thought about, didn't make the play. But I did kind of look at the Astros there in that one. Also thought a little bit about the Rangers in this game against the Mariners. Thankfully, the Rangers pulled one out yesterday for us because I was very upset about that over at Wrigley Field. But Andrew Heaney here going for the Rangers against George Kirby for the Mariners. Heaney, low hard hit rate and faces a lineup that can't hit lefties. The Mariners are dead last in Major League Baseball in WOBA against lefties. But here you don't see this line moving. And in fact, what little movement we have seen has been on the Mariners. So this tells me two things. One, the thought process I had about wanting to back the Mariners here going forward because they're better than they played so far is kind of a market-wide sort of perception. The second thing is, I think people are also looking at the Rangers as a bit of a fade team here. They are overperforming, I think, in a lot of ways. So this is one of those where sometimes the line move that doesn't happen says more than the line move that does. And this is a case where Seattle is awful, worst team in the league against left-handed pitching. But this line isn't moving. And we've seen most lines move when you've got teams that are good or bad against lefties. So the fact that this line hasn't moved tells me a lot about the market perception of both of these teams here. So we'll see if the Mariners are able to get this one back in the right column. But that was a non-line move that stood out to me quite a bit. One more game I want to talk about, and then I'll rattle off the three plays I have for today. The Blue Jays and the Phillies. Alek Manoah and Aaron Nola in this one. And Alek Manoah, a big reversal of fortunes for him. He's given up a lot more hard contact. Last year, a .244 batting average on balls in play against, 82.6% left on base percentage. This year, .309 BABIP, 73.7% left on base percentage, 6.72 expected ERA. He's walking more guys. He's giving up more hard hit contact. He's striking out fewer guys. All these things about Alek Manoah point to not wanting to bet on him. But when you consider what I mentioned, that the AL East is 86-40 against everybody but each other, I got close to just taking the plus money price with Manoah today anyway. And Aaron Nola, only 33 strikeouts for him in 42 2/3. Seems like he's kind of teetering a little bit. Also, the Phillies, 12th in WOBA, but the highest BABIP in baseball at .329. They're 19th in runs scored, even though they have the 6th highest BABIP with runners in scoring position. This is a Phillies team that I think is a little bit of a regression candidate offensively as well. So got real close to taking the Blue Jays today. Didn't do it, but that was one on my short list. So hopefully I don't regret that one. Here are the plays I did take, though, for today. And we start in the National League, Miami and Arizona. Jesus Luzardo and Brandon Pfaadt in this one. Brandon Pfaadt's debut did not go well. Gave up 7 runs on 9 hits and 4 2/3. Texas jumped on him for 4 home runs. They had 12 hard hit balls, 4 barrels. And home runs were an issue for Pfaadt in the minor leagues. He's a guy whose AA home park was Amarillo, and his AAA home park was Reno. And he played in the Texas League in AA, where every ballpark is effectively a launching pad, right? So the home run issue, I think people are going to look at it and say, oh, well, it's just a continuation. To me, I think he was a byproduct of a really difficult pitching environment. And then he makes his debut, and the roof is open in Arlington. And that place plays so much differently when the roof is open as opposed to when the roof is closed. Now he's back at home, and I think this is a much better spot for Brandon Pfaadt here against a Marlins lineup that is not great against right-handed pitching, right? The Rangers are 6th in WOBA against righties, 4th in home WOBA, and 3rd in home WOBA against right-handed pitching, right? So Brandon Pfaadt's debut came against a team that was a top 5 level offense against righties. Miami is not. Miami's 29th in WOBA against right-handed pitching, 284. They strike out a lot. They're 25th in road WOBA against right-handed pitching. I don't think that these two starts can really be compared for Brandon Pfaadt here. So I think he's the guy to take in this start here today. I think he should be in better shape. And Jesus Luzardo struggling a little bit over his last few starts. Last three starts, 5.06 ERA, 4.81. Actually, last five starts, 5.06 ERA, 4.81 FIP. Hard hit percentage over 40% in that span. Give me the Diamondbacks here, minus 115. And again, as always, shop around for the best price that's out there. Next up here, so I laid the first five price with Tampa Bay. Minus 140 for the first five. That's Zach Eflin and Grayson Rodriguez. Grayson Rodriguez has a 5.46 ERA, 4.31 FIP. Yeah, he's got 37 strikeouts in 28 innings. But the one thing that FIP can't really account for is bad command. And Grayson Rodriguez has allowed a 46.7% hard hit percentage overall and 54.2% in his last four starts. That includes two starts against the Detroit Tigers. Also a start against the Kansas City Royals. The Rays are the best offense in baseball against righties. They're second in baseball in hard hit percentage. Rodriguez might rack up some strikeouts here, but the balls that are hit in play are going to be hit violently hard, and he's going to have the opportunity to give up some home runs as this season goes along. Eflin, on the flip side, 2.25 ERA, 2.95 FIP. His hard hit percentage is 40.5%, but he's not giving up, you know, the same kind of hard hit contact that a guy like Grayson Rodriguez is. I am concerned, though, about the Rays bullpen, which is why I took the first five here. They've been worked a lot. Jason Adam, the closer, pitched four of the last 5 days. Two of their relievers have pitched three of the last four. Another guy's worked three of five. Back-to-back days on Saturday and Sunday for Jalen Beeks. The Rays bullpen is up against it, and it's a regression candidate. So I just took the first five with Eflin to fade Rodriguez here, where I expect Eflin to be solid. And also Baltimore, kind of a middle-of-the-pack offense against righties. They crush lefties. Zach Eflin, right-handed. So I laid the minus 140 there with the Rays for the first five. And then lastly here, we go to the Bronx. Drew Rosinski and Clark Schmidt in this one. Yankees are a massive favorite in the minus 265, 270 range. Aaron Judge expected to be activated tonight and back in the Yankee lineup, so that should be good for them. But Clark Schmidt is a guy, 5.12 FIP, 5.83 ERA, 7 homers in 29 and a third innings. The A's are an above-average offense on the road. And not only that, I believe they're 12th on the road against, or they're actually 9th in WOBA at 3.25 against righties on the road. This has been a pretty good, all things considered, Oakland offense. And they get a guy in Schmidt who has major command concerns, and he's pitching in a small ballpark. So I think Oakland can scratch out some runs here in this game. But also, I don't like Drew Rosinski in this ballpark against this lineup. Rosinski was a star over in the KBO, but in his two starts back in the bigs, 10 runs allowed on 15 hits and 9 and a third, 6 walks, 4 strikeouts, both of those starts coming at home as well. And that's not a good look for him, especially because one of those was against the Reds, who had 5 runs on 11 hits off of him. Oakland, worst bullpen in big league baseball. Rosinski probably not going to work that deep into this game. So I took over 8.5, minus 120 in the A's and Yankees matchup. So Diamondbacks minus 115, Rays first five minus 140, A's and Yanks over 8.5 minus 120, the three plays for today. Sorry for running a little bit long with the show. Had a lot of stuff to talk about on this card, a lot of stuff in the article over at vsin.com. Rate, review, subscribe. Would greatly appreciate any 5-star review you want to throw our way. So thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And I will talk to you again tomorrow with another edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.